Today, we're in John 3. I was told by a band member, she just left, that this was actual footage. Doggone it. I'll have to wait till she comes back in. If I revisit that joke, please laugh again. Anyway, today we're going to talk about this guy, actual footage, Nicodemus. Has anybody seen this actor before? Who watches The Chosen around here? Okay, I was told that today, so I was like, okay, that's it. So anyway, I thought it was going to be a surprise who this was, but it's no surprise to many people. Today we're going to read a passage of Scripture where Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus. Sometimes I call him Nick as I was going through my stuff, but Nicodemus. And let me just give you a little bit of information about who he was before we read our scripture passage today out of John 3. So Nicodemus, most of you know, especially those who raised their hand that have been watching The Chosen, you can rest, I guess, right now. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now, I found it interesting as I was doing research and preparation, there were 6,000 Pharisees. Does that seem like a lot to you guys? Yeah. Me too. I was like, 6,000, wow, that's like a lot. But then I also remember a lot of scripture where Jesus tried to do stuff and they're popping up all over the place. So I guess they had to have that many people to keep track of Jesus and what he was doing. But anyway, so 6,000 Pharisees at the time. He was special, though, as scripture tells us, and I told you, he's a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now, this was a special little group of Pharisees called the Sanhedrin, and there were 70 of those. So 6,000 Pharisees and only 70 in this little elite group of Pharisees called, the group was called the Sanhedrin. You heard of that before, haven't you? Yeah. So this gentleman, Nicodemus, was a smart guy. Respected, in fact. Well-trained, very knowledgeable in Scripture. He knew what was going on when it came to God and all things God, right? In the story we're about to read, we see, and through this depiction that we caught back in time, we see that there's a lot of, you see a couple lights there, right? They weren't lights, candles. But ways for Jesus and Nicodemus to meet and speak, and it was dark at the time, so thus the picture shows that it's lit by candles. They had a nice little candlelight meeting, it looks like. Guys, here's the one. So I was told by a band member earlier today that this was actual footage of Nicodemus. You laughed before I could say the joke. Now you're back. Thank you, guys. I love you people. All right. Okay. Well, she just came back, so I had to say it. Okay, so Jesus and Nicodemus are having a conversation at night. Now, there's speculation as to why he came at night. Maybe he was a super busy guy. He's a member of the Sanhedrin, the elite ruling council of the Pharisees. He might have been very busy. His calendar has been packed, and he's not been able to pencil in speak with Jesus, so he goes at night. It's also possible that Jesus' calendar was extremely, extremely packed, and he had no time to meet with Jesus in a one-on-one conversation. It's also possible, as I was taught growing up, is that he was sneaking around. Anybody heard that theory before? Yeah. He was sneaking around nighttime because he didn't want other people to see him. I don't know. Who's to say? The other two I threw out at you because they were new to me too. Their calendars just didn't jive until this particular evening. They were able to have a one-on-one, he was able to have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus. But we do know, as we're getting ready to read the scripture, that he comes to Jesus and he wants to know who he is. He kind of believes that he does believe he's a good guy. He's doing miraculous things, we're about to read, he says. But he doesn't know exactly who Jesus is, and is he the Messiah or not? So let's read John 3, 1 through 21. So much awesome content. We could be here for days, but we won't be. We have an event to be at. All right. So John 3, 1 through 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." This throws Nicodemus off. He is completely and utterly confused. "How can a man be born again? Or how can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's from or where it is going. So is it with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asks. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world," you can say it with me, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." Awesome stuff. Can you imagine having a conversation with Jesus like that? Wow, very cool. There's a lot of content here, which is why I said I could be talking for a long time. There's a lot of great stuff. John 3:16, you guys said it with me, even if you didn't have a Bible to read it. You knew that, didn't you? Did you realize that John 3:16 was in the content of and in this conversation here? I had to be reminded of that when I read that. Like, yeah, that's right. That was with Nicodemus. Sometimes we know things and we take it out of content, but man, how cool. My favorite's the John 3:17, that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it through him. Side note. Jesus covers a lot of information in here. In fact, God and I had a lot of conversations about what in the world I was supposed to do with this scripture. I knew I was supposed to preach on this scripture, but I'm like, where should I go with this? There's a ton of things. And what God settled me on, yeah, I finally listened. Thank you. I heard my deacon laugh. The main focus that today God wants us to meditate on is the part where Jesus says what we must do to see the kingdom of God or enter into the kingdom of God. That's what I want us to focus on with the scripture. But I didn't want to just read that part. I wanted to read the whole entire conversation. Jesus says there's one thing that we must do. We must be a good person. We must give money to the church. We must know scripture inside and out. We must attend church every week. We must volunteer 15 hours of work to our local charity. Does Jesus say any of those things? You catch my sarcasm? Okay, good. No, Jesus doesn't say any of those things. What Jesus says is, we must be born of water and born of the Spirit, doesn't he? We must be born again. Another translation that I found that I really like, instead of born again, another translation is born from above. Oh, you guys like it too. You're my people for sure. I love this, born from above. Let's really look up, Jesus, God had me like really dig into what does this whole thing of spirit and water and born again, what does this really all mean? So let's dig in. What's it mean to be born again, born from above, born of water? And it's all basically what we find in like verse 5, but I do travel on a little bit more. Okay, born of water and spirit. I love that God teaches you no matter what, right? I mean, it doesn't matter how much you know. You don't know. You find out you don't know, right? So former senior pastor says yes, that's right. I grew up thinking that this could be two different things, born of water and born of spirit. But it could actually be one thing, and I'll get to that in a minute. Specifically speaking of born of water, some people think that, as I was taught, this is about baptism. Born of water, born of baptism. I'm a good Baptist kid, so that's what I thought. That's what was taught to us, which it could be, okay? It could be. But if you think about the content of the conversation and the person that Jesus was talking to, Nicodemus would have had no idea really what baptism was. He was a Pharisee. He was Jewish. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He didn't know about baptism. So Jesus probably wasn't talking to him about baptism. The other thought that I'd always had growing up is the born of water is about natural birth, right? We've thought of that. Well, this probably wasn't the case either. I'm like, wait a minute. This is, what are we, come on, God, talk to me. All these things that I thought before could be, I'm not saying that it's not, but I'm going to give you another twist. There is really no indication in the ancient world that they used the phrase born by water for natural birth. There's no indication of that anywhere. So scholars don't think that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about that, because once again, that would have gone over his head. He wouldn't have got it. But they do think Jesus was talking about a passage of scripture out of Ezekiel, because that's what Nicodemus would have known, wouldn't he have? Does he know scripture? He's a Pharisee. He studied it. He's respected. He's taught. So the possibility I want to give to us today, and we're going to read this scripture, that it ties back, Jesus is tying back water and spirit, rebirth through water and spirit, from Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. I apologize, I did mean to put it up on the screen. But it's Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27. And I'll read this here for you. Okay, that scripture reads this: I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is something Nicodemus would have recognized and known and been able to tie back to what Jesus is talking about here. So let me explain a little bit about what Jesus is referencing here. This scripture references water being a part of cleansing for sacrifices under the Mosaic law, under the law of Moses. Israel's sin needed purified and therefore needed water purification. This water would cause Israel to be purified, and what would follow after that, does the scripture say? A new life, a new heart, and a new spirit. So God is promising, and Jesus is referencing the prophet Ezekiel 600 years prior to Jesus being here, prior to this picture being taken. Thank you, Amber. that a time is coming where there'll be a cleansing of impurities with water, and a new spirit will change the hearts of the people to obey God. That is what's required if people are to see and enter the kingdom of God. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to be born of above. Nicodemus would have understood this and realized, okay, this is the guy who's supposed to bring me personally, my own spiritual cleansing, my own spiritual rebirth, cleansing me with water, giving me a new spirit. He's going to get it now. He's going to connect the dots. To be born again is to have sin and impurity cleansed from your heart and to receive a new spiritual life. Being born of water and spirit, they all work together based on Ezekiel. Mind blown for me. It's like, oh, that's so cool. The water purifies and the new spirit is established. And it says that through the new spirit, you're going to follow me, right? We'll move in you and you will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Which basically the laws, love God, love others. There you go. And I don't have to remind you smart people, especially the ones that have been watching The Chosen, that Jesus refers to himself in the very next chapter as the living water to the Samaritan woman at the well. Anyway, but you guys already knew that. We're connecting those dots, guaranteed. Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus that flesh gives birth to flesh and the spirit gives birth to spirit. Now, I toyed with this for a long time, but I'm going to basically break, because it kind of sounds like a riddle to me. Like, what does this mean? But Jesus is emphasizing that this spiritual cleansing is wholly a work of God and not the result of human effort. Yay! Woo! Human physical rebirth leads to flesh, but the spiritual rebirth Jesus is talking about leads to spirit. Right? Yeah, thank God is right. What we do with these bodies, the rules we keep, the things we do, the good that we do, the things that we give, the service that we do to others, keep doing those things, okay? But that is not what you do to be born. You can't do enough of those things to be born again, to be born from above, to have a spiritual rebirth. This, you got to remember, this goes totally against what Nicodemus knows, right? This guy is shocked at this. What? Wait, huh? Say what, Jesus? There's nothing that I do? Because to him, doing for God, the keeping the laws of Moses, was how you got eternal life, how you saw the kingdom of God, how you did good on this earth, right? But Jesus is throwing all that away. He's just turning everything upside down. Everything that Nicodemus had learned his whole entire life was flipped upside down by this one conversation with Jesus right here. Jesus is saying it's not the things that we do, guys, that leads to our spiritual rebirth at all. It's a work of God and God only to come into our hearts, cleanse us, and replace us with a new spirit inside us. By that, we're changed people. Then we do want to do all those things that I rattled off earlier. Volunteer, give, serve, blah, blah, blah. That's the fruit of it. That's not what causes us to have a great relationship with God, to be born again, to be born from above. Only God. Now, I don't know how this whole Holy Spirit works, the Spirit works and cleanses us and gets rid of our sin and all that stuff. Like, that's what God knows. God knows that, and God knows that only, how that works. We do know it's not through doing things and obeying all the rules and regulations. I have no idea. But Jesus says that the Spirit is like the wind. Did you catch that at the end of the scripture? We can't see him. We don't know where he's coming from or what he's doing, but we know the effect of the Spirit. We know how it changes us, how it makes us feel towards others, Like the wind, we can feel the difference between spirit and no spirit, right? Do you feel when you're filled up with the spirit and you can feel when you're not filled up with the spirit? Yeah. When you have a spiritual rebirth, you're a different person. Because Jesus comes in, he cleanses you, that water cleansing, and then he replaces your spirit. And you're a new person. You're kind, loving, patient, forgiving, understanding. You have a hunger for Christ. You want to know him more. You're changed for the better by God and God alone, nothing that you did. You're purified and a new spirit is given to you, and the people around you see it. I hope people say to us today down at Gulfport, you guys are weird. What's wrong with you? Yes, we are. We're born from above, aren't we? We don't see Nicodemus again until John 19. Are you guys there in the Chosen? You're there? You've been past there? Good grief. I'm going to have to go to Old Testament teachings. So we don't see Nicodemus again until John 19. And that's after Jesus' crucifixion. He's helping a friend of his, another Pharisee, a guy by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. And they're helping to bury Jesus' body. It was a very risky thing for him to do. He risked his reputation, his rank in the Sanhedrin, life as he knew it, honestly. And maybe even physically risked his life to do this, both he and Joseph of Arimathea. This conversation that he had was impactful, wasn't it? You can see the spirit, his spirit was changed for him to do that. We don't know anything else that happened, but we know what he did at the end. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, yeah, okay, this guy, he pondered this conversation with Jesus. He got it. This conversation that he had with Jesus must have been life-changing, must have been. Is this information that you're getting today life-changing for you? Do you understand now what it takes? Do you let God work in you and replace an old spirit and give you a new one and purify you? And that's how you're born from above. Do you understand today that it doesn't matter what you do and how good you are? It doesn't. Nothing you do in the flesh will produce the spiritual rebirth that you need. Only God can. If you are here today and you are dead spiritually, or you need to swap out your spirit with something good, you're in the right place. Because all you really have to do is just ask Jesus to come into your heart and just change your life, to give you a new spirit. Jesus says exactly why he came. He came not to condemn us, right? But to give us a new life through him, a new spirit. He's willing to swap it out for you today if you need it. Here, Jesus, give me this bag of junk, and I'll take that new spirit, thank you, please. I'll order a new spirit. I'll sit over here. My number's 2. Okay. Right. That's what Jesus came for. In this conversation with Nicodemus, man, a lot of good stuff that Jesus tells us. My prayer today is that if you need to change out the spirit, that you take this time as we're singing this last song, just pray, be with God. Switch out your spirit. You can ask Jesus anytime and anywhere to just be in your heart and be with you and help you to be born again from above. And my prayer is that we all, when we're leaving this place, that we're changed. I'm sure Nicodemus, when he got up from that table, was a changed person because of the great promises of awesome stuff. Hey, man, I don't have to do anything. God loves me. He's going to switch out my spirit, and I'm going to live through him. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to do anything. Jesus did it all for you. I'm all for that. I'm tired today. I'm good. Let's be changed people. Let's be changed people for the better. Let's let the world see our change in us.